At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. And the band is back together. And the Astros are winning baseball games, too. Took 3 of 4 against Baltimore. Kind of left a bad taste in my mouth yesterday's game, though. But good, bad, ugly. Rules are rules. We start with the good. We start with that before we get to the bad and the ugly, which we will later. Lots to get to today, though. Tomorrow's cut-down day in the NFL. So what are your biggest cut-down questions for the Houston Texans as they approach the 53-man roster? DeMeco got the Joe Mixon question today, and he gave you a nothing burger. So still mystery surrounding Joe Mixon.
Just keep asking good questions and don't ask dumb questions.
There you go. It's the secret to life, really. Lots going on in the NFL, especially at the wide receiver position. We'll get to that. And did you see this Rajah Jackson thing? We'll talk about that later because it is fascinating. It's a really good debate because there's a lot of unknown there. Like, was it real?
Mm-hmm.
Was it fake? Was it scripted? Was it blurring the lines, Rob Thicke? Was it, I don't know. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But good, bad, ugly, we start there. Astros won the series. Start with the good. What were some of the good things that happened over the weekend in Baltimore, Blankers?
Well, I think you start with the fact that the team's hitting again. They're putting up big runs. They first two games they scored 19 runs, and Sunday was a little bit different. But overall, the top of the lineup is hitting again. Peña, Correa, Altuve, Walker even. Finding it. Yiner in a smaller sample size, 2 out of 3 games. He was 3 for 7. The offense is doing their part. It's just the total imbalance of this season with this team is the way it normally goes. When they weren't hitting, their pitching was outstanding. And now that they're hitting, their pitching is a little suspect.
Yeah, I didn't really expect much pitching in this series, though. Like this, you had 4 games. All 4 games were started by non-Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez's of you. Now, Jason Alexander's been good. We'll get to him in a little bit. So I didn't expect, like, quality pitching for the Astros. Now, there's some things like, what does this mean going forward over the next 30-something games? What does this mean for the race? What does this mean for the playoffs? Should you get there? Offensively, like, the good part of that to me, like, aside from, like, Christian Walker, he's on fire. Like, he's been really good since
the All-Star. He's on fire! Break.
Thank you, NBA Jam guy. He's getting going. Like, this is the Christian Walker that you thought that you signed for $20 million a year. He has been a $20 million a year player since, you know, the summer months, early summer. First half of the year, not so great. So, like, to me, the biggest takeaway, and, like, all the offensive numbers are great, the individual numbers are great, the bigger takeaway for me is that this offense has the potential to be really good when it matters the most. For all the names that you mentioned, for Yordan Alvarez, mm-hmm. who's coming back, Yiner's been hitting well, Christian Walker's been hitting well, Altuve so-so, like, Altuve had the slump, it looked like he came out of it a little bit. Same thing with Sanchez, like, he was in that 0-for-29, whatever it was, came out of it a little bit, hit the furthest home run I think I've seen a Houston Astro hit almost since Yordan, probably. So it shows me that they have the potential of being a really good offense when it matters the most.
It's just very top-heavy because you look at the bottom of the lineup right now, yes, and that is going to change. It could change significantly. To your point, and again, I'm writing off Paredes. I'm not even counting him into this potentially coming back list. But if Jake comes back and he picks up anywhere where he left off, along with Yordan, added to the guys you already have, like the potential to be top to bottom really, really solid is there. But for right now, it's kind of where we went to with the Space Cowboys, but now without the Space Cowboys, where you are extremely top-heavy, and the bottom part of the lineup is really struggling. When you look at Cam and Chaz and Dubon going 0 for the weekend, and you know, you mentioned it, Sanchez picked it up after he was 0 for 29, But you've got some Melton, another guy. You've got some guys where you're kind of penciling in an Ofer at the bottom. But if you can kind of slide those guys back to the bench because of the guys you get back, then this is a very deep, very capable lineup.
Yeah, it's top heavy at the moment. There's no doubt. Like, the bottom is kind of, like, Cam Smith has been abysmal lately. His slugging, his slugging percentage since July 6th is under the Mendoza line.
Chandler Rome.
It's under the
Chandler Rome did
Mendoza
something
line.
The other day.
Don't skip past it, Jeremy. Repeat that. Sorry, Joel.
He's got a, and I didn't even know I was going to go here. I was just trying to, like, figure out a comp for it. He's got a 180 slugging since July 6th, which is over 142 plate appearances, 37 games. So that's like a quarter of a year almost. A quarter of a season. His slugging.
Yes.
His slugging.
Yes.
Is 180. He's slugging. He's slugging under my weight.
I got to imagine Jose Abreu, as bad as he ever got, was better than that.
Chandler Rome had a stat, I think it was over the weekend, and I'm not sure if it was in his column or he tweeted it, and I believe it was him. I want to give him credit if it was him. But Cam Smith has the worst OPS in baseball since the All-Star break. Like, it is atrocious.
Abreu's batting, slugging his final year at the. It's pretty interesting here because looking at Cam Smith's slashes, looking at his slash line since July 6th, 142 plate appearances, 37 games. Jose Abreu in his final year, his final season with the Astros, 35 games. Cam's at 37 over this stretch. 120 plate appearances for Abreu. Cam's looking at 142 since July 6th. Jose Abreu, his slash line that final year, 124, which Cam's got on beat by 17 points, 167 on base, which Cam has him there by like 50. And then the slugging for Jose Abreu in his final year as an Astro was 195.
So better than Cam.
Cam Smith's at 180.
Oh.
Can I steal this, Brian? This is,
yeah,
this
go
is
ahead,
good
go
stuff
ahead.
Here. All right, thank you. Isn't that awful?
It's terrible.
Like, I think you got to
send
him down.
And again, it's not the big picture. It's not that you expect this for the rest of his career. And he's doing his best to handle it the right way. But there's no way around this anymore. I'm sorry, Blowhard. No matter how much you think he was supposed to be the rookie of the year and you're going to defend him, and I know you're probably already lighting it up. The fact of the matter is, the facts are the facts, the numbers are the numbers, and just the eye test alone, when you see him at bat, he's lost.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's gone. And I don't think he's coming back till next year.
I hijacked the good. That's my bad. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have a decision, I think, with Yordan tomorrow. Now, it feels just likely that they send down Bryce Matthews and they keep Cam Smith up. I predict that they're not going to send down Cam Smith. Do I think they should send down Cam Smith? I do. I do because I want to get the extra year of club control.
And I totally understand that. But the thing is, too, he's not alone when you look at the fact that Chaz looks terrible at the plate. I don't think Chaz looks very good. I don't think that – I mentioned Dubon was 0 for 11 over the weekend. Melton doesn't look great. Like, there's a lot of guys that are scuffling right now in an outfield that was supposed to have gotten better based on the depth that you acquired at the deadline. But part of that was thinking that the platoon system with Cam was going to work.
That's probably what's going to be the saving grace for Cam is that you don't have great alternatives. Mm-hmm. Like, you really don't – I mean, with Myers hurt right now, you're looking at Melton and Chaz platooning in center. Even the Trammell injury, like, you took away an outfielder that was contributing some. He's no longer around. How long he's out will be, you know, remain to be seen. You know, you could get by with Chaz and Dubon in right field for 3 weeks. I don't know. You don't really have great alternatives, and I do think that's what's going to save Cam Smith. I would just bite the bullet and send him down for 3 weeks and then get the extra year of club control. That's just me. A lot of people have a difference of opinion there. Getting back to the good, the other good. Lots of runs this weekend. That was really nice to see. The only starter that had a good line score was Arrigetti. I thought it was a weird start, though, because, like, what we know about Arrigetti is that he's a high strikeout guy, gets a lot of swing and misses. And this start was the opposite. Like, he wasn't getting the swing and miss. He wasn't getting the strikeouts, but his line score was actually good, the best of the bunch.
And his control was better, right?
He was.
Yeah, he wasn't walking. He had zero walks. I mean, that's incredible for a guy that kind of was struggling to find the zone consistently. So it's like, you're right. It's one of those starts where you look at it and you were like, okay, but when you look at the numbers and you figure out that he got you into the sixth inning as a starter with the way that the rest of these starters have been letting you down and taxing the bullpen, I think he was pretty decent. It was a very positive start.
For sure. There's two different ways to look at it. Like, there's the way, like, was it efficient in that game? 100%. Like, sign me up for that start every single time. If you get that every single start, I'm here for it, even if it means less whiff percentage and strikeouts and all of that. The other way of looking at it, though, is that it's not a great start in terms of, like, the predictiveness of what to expect from him going forward. Mm-hmm. Now, to your point, the command was better. Wasn't walking dudes. Like, give me I hate walks. I'd rather see a dude challenge and give up a double than walk a guy. Yes, they get the extra base. So I do take it over the alternative. But looking for, like, the rest of Arrighetti's start, looking at it from that perspective, I don't know if it was the most wonderful start about what we should expect for Spencer Arrighetti going forward. Because he had more command. Yes, he threw more strikes. But he was a lot more hittable, too. And I know it didn't add up to the runs, but you could see it because, you know, he didn't get the strikeouts, didn't get the swing and the miss.
It's almost, too, like when you look at, to your point about Arrighetti in the start, you're like mixed bag, but you're feeling, hey, look, when you look at the numbers, it's not what he traditionally does, but he did enough to be more effective doing it this way.
Uh-huh.
So you'll live with it. As opposed to McCullers, when you look at his stat line and you look at the fact that, okay, he only had three earned runs. But at the end of the day, you look at it and go, that could have been so much worse.
Oh,
that
for sure.
First inning, he could have absolutely gotten knocked out of the game and been annihilated. To the point where you can't feel great even though you got four innings from him and he only gave up three runs.
I guess the point is, like, is it sustainable? Like, the start that Arrighetti had and, like, the stuff he had and the way he was pitching, all that, is that something that can be sustainable for Spencer Arrighetti? I have my doubts.
See, I think what it really comes down to is again, with his control and how that fastball can play in. Like, if he can control all of his pitches, then I think you can build off of what he did and kind of get, like, a happy medium. But you just don't know what you don't know because from start to start, there's been anything but consistency.
Yeah, yeah. I do think it's a step in the right direction. Like, it's way better than his previous starts. You know, maybe he can pitch with more command and then add the swing and miss. You know, maybe he was going back to basics there. They were talking about how he was trying to stay a little bit more upright on his right foot, his push foot. So, like, you know, maybe it's the tinkering and maybe, you know, he's far away from the final project, which he should be. He missed a lot of games this year. I think Abreu's better in the closer role. Like, he looks more dominant to me. He looks more nasty to me. The strikeouts are there. He is shining in the moment. Like, he is thriving in the closer role, in my opinion.
Yeah, remember during the year I was saying, you know, he played with fire a little bit, but he got through it. He always did.
Breaking news from Adam Schefter. Yes. Joe Mixon will not be ready for week one. Looks like he's headed to the pup.
Okay. Should we react next?
Yeah.
Should we break off of good, bad, and ugly for Joe Mixon? Of course we should. 713-780-ESPN. We got a busy show. We'll get back to the bad and ugly later. We don't want to leave you with bated breath. So we'll get back to that a little bit later. NFL stuff to come. The Roger Jackson stuff is fascinating. But we're going to party with Kyle McNair. Joe Mixon.
Good. You having a little party?
Starting the season on the pup. He's going to miss at minimum four games. Can the Texans running back room survive? I'm going to repurpose the question. If I told you right now you could get Joe Mixon after the bye in week 7, are you taking it? Are you taking
Just keep
it?
Asking good questions.
Thank you, Nick.
And don't ask dumb questions.
I knew that you respected me because I challenged you with your stupid window take. 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. You can find us on YouTube as well at ESPN Houston. TikTok at ESPN975. I'm at Jeremy J. Brand. I'm there. 713-780-3776. Mixon. First four games out. Can the Texans, do they have enough running back depth to survive this? 713-780.
Never quit.
It's going to be the video in the running back room. That's it. It's next. It's the Killer Bees. Cal's throwing me off the rocker. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, Jeremy mentioned windows. I can tell you where to get them. If that window that you want to replace is something that keeps bothering you, I need you to go to Allstate Siding and Windows because Allstate Siding and Windows is, simply put, the best. How do I know? I had new windows put in my house when I bought it about a year and a half ago. They are absolutely fantastic. And at Allstate Siding and Windows, Windows. Value means more than just what price that you got the windows or the siding at. It means quality products, trusted service from a company that has been here, going to be here, and is here to take care of you in Houston, Texas. Windows that are made in Texas and made for Texas weather. That means hurricane season. That means built for Texas, wind tested, hurricane strength. Siding and windows are Texas tough. They sustain the elements, heat, rain, wind, and hail, while reducing outdoor noise, enhancing the curb appeal and the appearance of your home, and it can help you save up to 40% on your energy bills. And an impact-resistant siding built to stand up to Houston's toughest weather, and gone are the days of painting and having to do all the things you have to do to the exterior. It's like putting a hard shell finish on the top of your house. Right now, 30% off all windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job. But you have to understand, a lot of people have a lot of deals. But the biggest thing is, this is a family-owned and operated business for over 50 years. Mary runs the whole ship back at the office. Her brother gets out there and does those free estimates. All you got to do is call them, 832-204-1936, for a free estimate to see how they can help you too. Siding, windows, front doors, and more. 832-204-1936 gets you that free to-your-door estimate. Special discounts for seniors, military, and first responders as well. Go see my friends at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Four games at minimum for Joe Mixon. Adam Schefter tweeting moments ago, Texans are not activating running back Joe Mixon by Tuesday's 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, making him ineligible to play at least the first four games of the season due to an ankle injury. Mixon will be moved to reserve non-football injury, which automatically rules him out for at least four games. I think four games would be great. We've kicked around the scenarios here. We kicked around if would you take the unknown or would you take week seven after the bye? Because it's a mystery. Like, he was in a walking boot. He was rehabbing, but he wasn't running. He was at his camp, but looked like he was walking gingerly. Hadn't been around training camp. I feel like it was a bit foolish, optimistic to think that he would have been ready at the start of the season while being away forever. So now that we have a new piece of evidence here, Adam Schefter's report, would you take the unknown, which at this point, the earliest possible is that he's back in week five. Texans have a week six bye. Would you take the unknown or would you take a return after the bye in week seven?
So there's a couple factors for me. I think you hit on one. The fact is, if you're going to bring him back and you're going to bring him back for one game and then you get another, the next week is your bye week, then you might as well wait until after the bye and get him as close to 100% as he can possibly be. And then the other thing it's going to be dependent upon is the guys that are picking up the slack for him. But more so than not, it looks like they're going to go with what they have, and they believe in at least the first two guys that they have on their depth chart for filling in for him. And DeMeco seems to be gushing about Nick Chubb. So I think a lot will depend on how he plays, but I don't think they're going to rush him back at any point because of the fact that even if the running backs are subpar, I think they would look for other alternatives between now and the start of the season, and then subsequently once the season starts. I think they just roll with it. If the running game suffers, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow. But at this point, you might as well just get him healthy for the stretch run.
Yeah, I mean, I took the week seven even
I didn't
before
like
the.
I didn't, and now I have no choice.
Yeah, this is the story of a girl. This isn't the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in the world. A running back missing four games, potentially five, with our week seven scenario isn't the worst thing in the world. How many games did Joe Mixon miss last year? Three or four? Even more than that, perhaps? So, like, the goal here is that you get him back and then he doesn't miss any more games, even if it means week seven. Because now if he comes back week seven, he's missed five games, your bye's in week six, that's still 12 games of Joe Mixon, hopefully more, with the postseason. Last year he played in 14 games. The room that you have, I don't hate the room that you have. Now, I don't think you have a bell cow. That's okay. There's not many bell cows in the NFL. But I do think you have pieces to get the job done, to be average in the running game. Whether it's a combination of Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce between the tackles, using Woody Marks a little bit, and you know, as a third down guy, although they like Dari a little bit more as the third down guy, because he was he wasn't resting. But he's more of a third down guy at this present moment than Woody Marks, at least with the ones. I think you have enough in the room to get by for even five games. Like, I'm okay with this news. I'm not going to, you know, be on the ledge or anything. Maybe it's part because I've already accepted it quite a bit. I've already accepted the fact that Joe Mixon wasn't going to be here for week one. The answer to the question that I have, though, can the Texans survive it? I believe they're fine. Like, I really do. Now, a couple more injuries before he comes back, now you have some issues. But I don't think you need to go outside for a running back. And we might have already had our answer on Nick Caserio going outside for a running back, too. Like, if he was desperate for a running back, you think he would have been the one that traded for Brian Robinson? I do.
Yeah,
I
mean, especially because it was a pretty affordable price.
He got traded for San Francisco's second six-round pick.
Yeah.
So, like, would have the Texans given him a sixth and a seventh? I do. So I think that Nick Caserio's actually given us his answer that he believes that the Texans have enough. And maybe part of this was Damian Pierce getting through a game healthy. I think that he has told us that he has enough in that room at the moment to not go outside.
It seemed like DeMeco was giving us one of his sales pitches without giving his sales pitch on Nick Chubb, too. I think that regardless of how everybody grades Nick Chubb during practice, they see something when he's in the game, and the fact that he moves the pile on first contact, that between the tackles he can still be a guy that, you know, just pounds the rock and grinds out yards for you. And then I think that it's going to be a committee on both sides. I think that you will see running back one by committee based on who's having the most success. If Nick is moving the pile, Pierce didn't look great to me, but it looks like he'll get an opportunity. I think Woody Marks has versatility if they truly trust him. And I think Woody Marks can be a guy that, along with Dare, gives you that third down back. And again, whichever guy is stepping up or looks like he's doing the most with his opportunities, they can go with early on. There's enough versatility that you can just do both by committee or running back by committee until you see it, that it just doesn't work and you have to do something differently. It's just, I agree with you that if they were going to go get a running back, there was a very attainable starting running back on the market that they didn't get. Mm-hmm. So I believe that tells me they believe in the guys they've got already in that locker room.
The only caveat I would say is if they have something worked out with another team and they just haven't pulled the trigger yet. Like, ETN has been a guy that's been talked about on the move, but would Jacksonville trade ETN to a division rival? I don't know. We saw a trade last year where the Eagles and Commanders made a trade for Dotson. So I think it is feasible. Ocho's asking, how is Woody Marks in pass pro? I haven't seen him a whole lot in pass pro. I thought he looked decent in that preseason game the other day. I thought Pierce looked decent. Like, if pass fell, did Damian Pierce get through that game? Pass fell, he's on this team. He passed for me. I saw enough for Damian Pierce where I'm okay with him on the 53.
I think what I saw was a guy that we've known all along that, again, is another guy that's just a bulldozer. When he gets first contact, there was that fourth and one that ended up, there was a holding call. But nonetheless, if the play just played through, he got hit behind the line of scrimmage, 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and still carried the guys to gain like a yard and a half, 2 yards, and get would have been a first down if not for the penalty. I think if that's what they're looking for, I think there's a guy that's capable. I also think, to the point that I was making throughout camp, is I think that there's still going to be opportunities between now and the start of week one, where in this case, not that he's going to be the right-away starter, but there might be a veteran out there that is a guy that ends up starting for you a little bit and or filling a void for you until you know how long Mixon's out.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see the cutdowns that are good enough to supplant Mixon, Damian Pierce, fourth-round running or third-round running back. I don't think as highly of the cut players than you do, I don't think.
Well, and I'm saying not necessarily at running back, but you might be able to find a veteran that, again, like, splits carries that can come in and give you something that maybe they don't think they have. But I think more so than the running back position, I think there are other positions out there where you can find guys that might be better than what you have on this roster, or just adds depth to what you feel like is a position group or two where you might be a little less than.
I have a hard time with the cut players, cut running backs in the NFL.
No, I think trade.
Supplanting any three of those guys.
I think you still could see a trade or two, but you know, that before, because you don't want them to hit the open market. You don't want them to get cut. And again, there are teams that are fighting a financial crunch or finding out we've got a guy we're paying a lot of money to, but we've got a young guy that's better than him, but maybe we can get something for him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough for me to imagine that scenario because the running backs that have been out there, Brian Robinson's the one running back that got traded. ETN has talent. He hasn't been traded. There's rumors that he could be traded. I think ETN would be an upgrade, but he does come with a cost. Was he worth trading for with that salary? I think that if Caserio was desperate for running back, they would have traded for Brian Robinson. I really do.
Yeah, and I'm saying more so, I was on the point of there's position groups that they might be able to get close, better depth and potential for a starter.
From a running back, what are those spots for you think?
I think safety. I think there might be a safety out there. I think there might be a corner out there until they figure out how, you know, what, how much trust they have in younger guys and how they want to align their corners. I think offensive line wise, they might still be looking, but I think they like the continuity that they have with the guys they have in the room.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at it even from a Texans perspective. I mean, with Cam Robinson, when you signed him to all that money, you assumed he was going to be your starting left tackle, and now he might be expendable.
Yeah, I wonder if he's traded.
Yeah.
I think that that is on the table. And I think that the safety thing kind of comes into the health of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Like, are they starting him on the pup?
Right.
Like, that's not like that. That's within the realm of possibility. We haven't seen him run around. Saw him walk onto the field, was limping around. I think that they could play it safe with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, so that could be a spot for sure. Can they survive this, Brian? Are they okay enough with the four running backs that they're probably going to keep with Nick Chubb, with Damian Pierce, with Woody March, with Dare, can't say his last name.
You can't say the last name?
Ogunabonwe?
Ogunbowale?
Never really tried to learn.
You've had to say tougher names than that.
Yeah, but I haven't studied the name. When as a play-by-play guy, when I get ready for a game, I'm going to study the name, say it over and over. I can get by saying Dare.
That's true. That's true.
It's different roles, bro.
I think they can survive not only because of the talent that I still think is behind Joe Mixon. I was encouraged after being down on Nick Chubb. I was encouraged by what we saw in that second preseason game. I've been encouraged by Woody Marks, and I think Damian Pierce will be a much better fit in this system than he was under Bobby Sloak. So I think they have enough there. I also think you're looking at, I don't know how much, you know, like, quarterbacks can obviously add a lot to the projected win-loss total of a team. Running backs, far less so. But, I mean, this schedule with the Jaguars and Titans mixed in between the three tougher games, I think worst case you're looking at 2-3. And if they got to the bye at 2-3 without Joe Mixon, I have no problem thinking they could still get to 10 wins and make the playoffs. So I think they definitely can survive five games without Mixon.
Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that week by week that Mixon could potentially be gone. Texans have confirmed this on their Twitter that they will indeed place Joe Mixon on the reserve non-football injury list. He may begin to practice and play. So this is the other thing. He can't even practice. Mm-hmm. This list, you can't practice until you've been activated from the list. So he's not even practicing with the team for the first 4 weeks.
You just made the list.
First 4 weeks he can't practice. He's not coming back in week five. Week seven's the target.
I mean, and again, we've talked about this in the past. No matter where you're working out, unless you're working out in the facility again with the NFL guys, I mean, you're not going to be as ready as you would be in the building. I think you're right. That pushes it over the top. He's not going to be coming back till week seven.
Yeah, because you have, correct me if I'm wrong, I think once they activate you off the PUP, you have 3 weeks to return to play to be put on the active roster.
Technically, this isn't the PUP. This is like the technicalities in the list that we were arguing about the other day. This is the reserve non-football injury list.
Which
is like Chris Godwin with Tampa Bay. Like, he's going to be on the 53, even though he can't play the first 4 weeks. And the reason they want him on the 53 is so he can practice. Practice.
But now, and Mixon still gets paid for non-football?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, because I think that from a liability standpoint, I think that's why they have to specify.
I think there's a lot of reasons.
Because if a non-football becomes more catastrophic or bigger picture, like having to get rid of a guy, that's when they can actually file a claim so they don't have to pay him.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. What do you want the Texans to do at the running back position? We'll take a look at that first four, potentially more games that Joe Mixon is going to miss. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It's times like this I'm happy and thankful for Walmart.com. What? How are you making that reach, Branham? Because I'm not going to want to grocery shop today because this is bad news. So I need to grocery shop. I don't want to go out to grocery shop. I'm just going to order from Walmart.com. Also, I'm working. I'll be working all day long today. So I'm going to schedule my delivery to be there right after I get home. And Walmart.com is going to do that for you. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. You knew. Walmart has more than a half a billion items online. It's unbelievable. You can find a huge selection online that you can't even find at stores at Walmart.com. Branham family's been ordering online for Walmart for a long time, which is great for somebody like me. Don't have a lot of time. The time I do have, I don't want to be running errands and doing chores. I don't like to mess with a crowd. I don't want to turn off the game. So we just order online, get all our groceries that way without leaving the house. oh, that's too expensive. Online grocery shopping costs more. I know what you're saying. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. And of course, because it's Walmart, the prices are low. And what I love about it, they're fast. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. Going online at walmart.com, ordering the groceries I need, getting those groceries delivered to me, is faster than going to the grocery store and getting the groceries I need. They're going to save you time. Use Express Delivery to get all the things you need from Walmart, from the groceries to the home goods, even prescriptions. Walmart is changing the game. So when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate even, maybe you have friends and you're throwing a party. Must be nice. Think Walmart for all your grocery needs. Start an order right now at walmart.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Joe Mixon's going to be out at least four games. Four games is not realistic, in my opinion. They can't even practice with a team until after the team has completed its fourth game. Team has a bye in week six. So you can kind of steal a month and a half of recovery targeting that week seven thing. I'm a fan of that. I'm not a fan that he's hurt, obviously, but I'm a fan of going, hey, don't come back for week five. Why don't you just come back week seven, return to practice, do all that stuff. But do the Texans have enough juice in the running back room to handle no Joe Mixon for the first six games of the season, five games of the season, because Texans do have an early bye. Do you like the early bye? Is it good in this instance?
I think the best case scenario for a bye is about midseason to like week 10, just because of the fact that I think anything before that, especially week five, I think it's too early. I think the guys that really get dinged up, and the fact that, you know, the schedule starts to wear on you to where it's perfect, where they get a week in the middle of the season to kind of recharge, kind of recover on injuries and get going. And it just seems like week five might be a little too early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, week 8 to 10, I think, is a sweet spot. Like last year, they were week 14, way too late. Now they went the opposite, you know, this year with week six. It's just way too early. I like it right to be right in that middle of the part of the season there.
Yeah, I like my first week in November, maybe. If I'm expecting to be a playoff team, I want my bye as late as possible.
So you liked week 14 last year?
Yeah. It gives you a little reset, get you ready for the stretch drive. The
it felt like now, they were on fumes when they got to week 14.
I'm not arguing that point of it. I think you're right about that. But I would take that trade-off. I would take the trade-off of having it late. And also, like, I think you can load manage a little bit better, too. Like, do I think the Texans were great in that regard? Not really. I think that you can be better at, okay, we're a playoff team. Let's lighten the load a little bit. Brian, you brought up James Cook the other day. As a fantasy owner, you get frustrated with how much rest they give him. I think that's by design, so he's fresh come postseason.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that you can do that with – you can't do that with everybody. Like, you're obviously not going to sit your left tackle. Now, the Texans are pretty good at rotating their defensive linemen because they like to be fresh. But, like, you can be cognizant of that. Texans, they have to – or Texter, they have to pay Mixon unless they release him. Now, there are some, like, outs on that. I mean, he could have done something that broke a clause in his contract.
Yeah.
That's not the case here. But there's other ways that a team can
there's
get out
a reason
contract.
Why they specify it for non-football injury list, because it's not something that fell under their roof or their jurisdiction, their guidance.
Israel says you're really going to be mad when Chubb gets that 1,000 yards. Standing offer, Israel. I'm happy to bet you that.
I don't know if
you were here whenever I challenged Israel to that bet. Israel keeps sitting.
He spams
the text line saying Nick Chubb's going to get 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards. I've challenged Israel that if he wants to make a Nick Chubb 1,000-yard rushing bet, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. We can talk behind closed doors. We can negotiate like men, and we can get this done. Now the money has to be held in escrow. Somebody has to.
I want in on this action if this happens.
You're trying to get in on
my... I will take some of that action.
Texture, why didn't Mixon get surgery to fix this after last season so he'd have time to heal? If he did have surgery, then what's the issue? There's a mystery here. Like, we do not know. Like, we do not know the semantics behind why Joe Mixon was hurt in the offseason. A lot of people have speculated that it was, you know, it came off of the hip drop tackles from last year. They never fully recovered, that he aggravated it working out. That's all innuendo. We have no idea why Joe Mixon's foot ankle is as bad as it is. No clue. We don't. Did he have surgery? No idea.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, from the time you get to the offseason until the time they report back, the general manager and the coach probably are informed at some point and they know, but guys do a lot of cleanup in the offseason. And the team doesn't have to report a thing. The player literally doesn't have to report a thing, I believe, except for the general manager and out of respect the head coach. But that's why, and I talked to guys that have worked in the league for a long time, and they said it's not uncommon for, you know, a majority of your roster to have some kind of procedure, process, surgery almost every offseason.
Yeah, Schefter had a paragraph, a few paragraphs on the Joe Mixon update, ineligible to play the least at least four games. Mixon, who injured his ankle over the offseason. So the way that that's worded, it wasn't a re-aggravation. That reads to me as a completely new injury. Now, is Schefter 100%? We do not know. But Mixon, who injured his ankle over the offseason, does that sound like a new injury or a re-aggravation?
To me, it sounds like that would be a new injury on top of what we already knew, which was from the hip drop tackle, that he had been fighting that ankle or whatever it is. But it sounds like they're being very clear this is separate from that.
Israel's being soft. He says, I'm not going to bet. I'm just going to get the satisfaction of laughing. Laughing face emoji, laughing face emoji, laughing face emoji.
His ass off.
That's soft, Israel. I thought you were harder than that. I guess not. You're disappointing me. This is an interesting question. Who's going to lead the Texans, the running backs, in total yards this year?
Ooh. At the end of the season, I still think it's Joe Mixon.
Really?
Yeah. I think when he comes back, like we said, I think he'll be fresh. I think he'll be ready to go. And I think he'll be fine. Look, I was a fan of the signing of Nick Chubb. I thought Nick Chubb was going to be that guy. We've heard conflicting and mixed reports on this. He's going to get the first crack at it. But I also think he's not big on receiving yards. So we'll see how that factors in. But at the end of the day, I'll say that Joe Mixon still, by the end of the year, has the most total yards.
Brian?
I'm going to go – I can't believe I'm saying this in 2025, but I'm going to go with Nick Chubb. Like, I'm worried about this Joe Mixon injury. I mean, for all the reasons we've talked about, I mean, the fact that this is possibly an injury that's kind of held over from last season that might have got re-aggravated or maybe re-injured again, you got to factor age into this. And he's a running back, so even if he comes back in week 7 after the bye, you know he's probably going to miss a few more games after that. So I think Chubb, because he's the veteran, because this, you know, they've shown they don't really want Damian Pierce for that role. Woody Marks is a rookie. They're not going to trust him that much. And Dare's not going to be it. It kind of feels like Nick Chubb by default.
I got a different answer than both of you boys.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. I'm going Damian Pierce.
Ooh, boy.
You think they trust him more than Chubb?
I do. I think he's got more left in the tank.
That's for sure.
I think he's got more left in the tank. I think they're going to try Chubb, and it's going to be very mid. And I think Damian Pierce wins it over. Scheme fits him. He's got something to prove in a contract year. He's got a little more juice, a little more power. I'm going – it's funny we have three different answers.
Yeah,
it's not great about the room.
No,
I think it speaks to the room more than anything else. But I'm going Damian Pierce. I think I think they're all going to be around 500-600.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to run away with this thing. I think it's going to be a pillow fight. It's going to be the tallest –
Little person.
The tallest toddler. But I'm going Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce to lead the Houston Texans in total yards from the running back position. Obviously, Nico Collins going to be up there. Kirk, maybe.
Yeah, I just, to me, there's enough time. There's still 10 weeks of the season where I think that Joe Mixon will be a guy that still puts up numbers. And I think once he gets back, hopefully he hits the ground running. And that he is the most versatile of those backs as well. So I'm gonna lay my money down there. But
do we want to lay down money?
I ain't scared.
We want to.
I mean, we did
coin on this.
I don't know if we ever check back at the end of the year on our Astros.
Well, it's not the end of the year. There's no end of the year yet.
I'm saying
in the past, like last.
Yeah, we have. We got paid up on that, didn't we?
The Astros won. I don't know if we did.
No. Yeah,
We have on other bets. But with Astros won, I don't know if we did. But we could do. I mean, we each took a different person, so we could do a drink at a remote or something like that.
You see what he said? A drink at a remote.
Hey. Oh, okay. You name the terms. I don't care. I'm just throwing something out there.
Name the terms, Blankers.
I mean,
We got to write this down.
I don't
down
drink,
Google Doc.
So it's different.
Well,
for
why don't we just do a vending
machine? Yeah, vending machine. That's fine.
We kind of use the vending machine from time to time.
Assuming it's working, because that's kind of pretty hit or miss.
I can verify.
Yep. There you go.
All right.
Put it in the Google Doc, Brian, because we forget all of these best.
Immediately. Total yards, right?
Joe has lucked
total
out
yards.
What we
total
forgot.
Yards? Okay. Total yards. So you went Mixon, Brian went Chubb. And I went Damian Pierce.
It'll be Dare, probably.
Woke up feeling dangerously.
Or Woody Marks. All of a sudden, Woody Marks is twitch and is catching the ball and is pass pro, and they love him.
It's going to be Jawar Jordan from left field.
No, we haven't named
British him. Bulldog.
There it is. I was waiting for someone to say
that. He's voting to be cut.
Johnson, right?
And British booty's being cut.
No, come on, man. Don't do that to
He's
me.
He's going to be cut.
No, come
he
on.
Is. He's he go.
He I mean, I think they'll keep him on the practice squad.
Can't cut British Brooks.
Yeah, they're going to cut him. I'll be on the practice squad.
I don't want to lose this drop.
Jawar Jordan and British Bulldog are going to be the practice squad running backs.
Mid-Jordan. Keep British Brooks, baby.
What do you have against Jaws?
I just like British Brooks.
Neither guy's making it. I'm not arguing Jaws over British. I said they're on the same tier. They're both going to get cut. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Sure, here, no ball if you cut British Brooks.
Here are the Texans' first six games, because we think that – or first five games, because we think that's week seven after the bye is the target. It is good news for Mixon that the bye is in week six, though. Kind of gets a built-in miss a week, but don't miss a game, I guess. At the Rams, could be an issue without your running game. Tampa Bay at home, a little Monday Night Football in week two, the early start.
Well, defense is pretty good stopping the run regardless.
Could be a little bit of an issue there. At Jacksonville, they go to Duval. I think it'll be fine
Duval.
There.
Duval.
Titans at home and then at Baltimore. Tell them boys to tighten up.
The Baltimore is a definite problem.
You said two. You see, you'd be happy at 2-3?
I'd be happy at 2-3.
I think I'm I wouldn't be happy at 2-3 because I feel like the expectation is 2-3. Right?
Okay, let me rephrase that. I think they could survive and still make the playoffs if they go 2-3.
I think they win the two divisional games, and I think they steal one of the other games.
Yeah, but that would make me happy.
Yeah.
If three and two, I'd be
over the week five moon.
Yeah.
Yep.
3-2 would be fantastic. Right?
Yeah, we're talking about splitting the first two, right? Because they're not going to beat the Ravens.
I think they'll beat Tampa at home.
Yeah,
the
Ravens
and they'll
beat
the two divisional teams.
Yeah.
The Ravens are the Texans' daddies.
Yeah. Until further notice.
They absolutely are. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We'll get your thoughts on this. Also, what are the biggest questions for the Houston Texans? What are the biggest roster decisions? This obviously was the headliner. But what else? What are the biggest roster decisions the Texans have to make before 3 o'clock tomorrow, roster cut down day? I love cut down day. Do you see, you've been watching the Cowboy thing?
No, I haven't seen
I started. Yet. I'm about 2.5 episodes in. Very good.
No, I just finished the SEC thing. I haven't started Cowboys yet.
I stopped the SEC thing to watch the Cowboys thing. It's great theater. It's fantastic. It gives you a little bit of the mindset of Jerry Jones. But Jimmy Johnson,
Or lack of now in this point in his
life. What do you mean? What did I say?
You said that you get the – something about the
– basically Joel saying he's lost his mind.
Yeah, he's senile now. In terms of getting yourself,
you said you
got to
look inside Jerry Jones' mind.
He made
and
a lot of
or
phenomenal
of.
Moves over the years, like financially.
I don't think
he
I don't. I'm not
that.
Sure he's changed much.
I think he's a little off. I think he's lost.
I won't argue that.
Okay.
I won't argue that he's a little senile, but I don't think he's changed a whole lot. But Jimmy Johnson had an unbelievable quote. He goes, "All these coaches say that the hardest thing to do in the job is cutting players." Jimmy Johnson goes, "I never found it that difficult."
Cold-blooded.
I love that guy. Instantly, massive Jimmy Johnson fan. As soon as he said that, my kind of guy. All right, go ahead.
He's like the Pat Riley of
the NFL. I didn't realize he was a hardo like
he
that.
He takes
I like that. Certainly more than remember that year of Hard Knocks where Robert Saleh had to say in every episode, "We're not going to show cuts on this show." That's too harsh of a day in a player's life. We're not going to show cuts on Hard Knocks.
I thought you were actually going to say cutting a player's not as hard as dealing with the owner on a daily basis because of the way they got sideways.
Who's that?
Jimmy and Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, I haven't gotten
it's
going
to be harder
to
deal with Jerry than it is to cut player 85 on the roster.
For sure. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What are the biggest decisions the Texans have before tomorrow's 3 o'clock roster deadline? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Football is back. It's in the air. It's in the air. Didn't you walk outside this morning? But, oh, yeah, football is here. It is football week. It is game week, baby. And you already already know where I'm going to be Thursday night. I'm going to be at TDECU Stadium. Cougars hosting the SFA Lumberjacks and the Lone Star Stampede. Going to give away a little tickets later. Also, look, I'm wearing my U of H gear. It's how you know football season's here. Second season of Willie Fritz, and you look Cougar team that's looking to make some noise this season. Get those tickets now, uhcougars.com/tickets, or just call them, 713-GO-COUGS. Tell them Branham sent you. Get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, the pageantry, the roar of the crowd like a Houston Cougar football game. Tailgate before the game is going to be awesome, too. Starts at 4 o'clock. U of H is partnered with the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo for this game, too. Bring the entire family, family fun, best kind of fun. Rodeo Houston's going to have the Rodeo Roundup Corral, which features the mini lasso practice, line dancing, color wall. Also a visit from their mascot, Howdy. Stop by, get your picture taken, and enter into a raffle for 4 Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo season tickets. The whole thing. Plus chances throughout the game as well to win tickets to a Rodeo Houston performance. So opening night, Thursday night, all of these giveaways going on as well. You got to get out there. Football season is here. Thursday at TDECU Stadium. Cannot get here soon enough. Visit uhcougars.com/tickets to get yours today, or just call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. We are the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Biggest Texans questions entering the cutdown day tomorrow, 713-780-ESPN. Eric the Driver says, my favorite Jimmy Johnson story is when he kicked the punter out of practice for having an asthma attack. Did he kick him out or cut him? I think he cut him.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, you get asthma elsewhere. Like, it was they showed video of it actually in the first couple of episodes. There was also the story of when they were like resting their starters in week, it would have been 17 at the time. They're arresting their starters going into the playoffs, and Emmitt Smith's backup running back fumbled twice, and they said that Jimmy Johnson cut him on the spot. Like, sent him to locker room, cut
him. He was known for that sort of thing. Yeah. One of my favorite stories was
during practice?
No, during the game.
In a game he cut him.
Oh, he cut him in the game?
Twice. Week 17, resting the starters.
Wow.
Cut his.
One of my favorite stories was there was a backup player that fell asleep in a meeting, and he cut him. And one of the reporters asked him, like, well, what if, like, I can't remember if he said Troy or Michael or one of the stars had fallen. He's like, well, I'd go and give him a pillow and just ask him nicely to go ahead and wake up.
Yeah,
that's when he made the follow-up statement, which is, if anybody believes that every player on this team is treated equally.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
They're not.
No, they're not. Any chance bottom 15 offense for the first week? Six-ish weeks.
I don't think so, because they've got some favorable matchups in there, too, and I think the offense will score points against Tampa.
Yeah, I think that they'll be in the top half of the league. Yeah. I think their passing attack is going to be sneaky good. I really do. This might be C.J. Stroud stock, actually, like where he's getting drafted in some of these best balls. Like, they're going to have to throw a lot.
Stroud!
And if they're losing, like, game script, he might throw 25, 30 times a game.
Yeah, they're
this might
pass
be Stroud
more
to the moon, actually,
yep.
Now that I think about
agreed
this. Talk my way through this. Might buy some C.J. Stroud stock here over the next week and a half.
Wouldn't be the worst thing you did.
No. I kind of like that idea, brainstorming. If through 5 weeks Chubb is averaging 85 to 90 yards a game, does Mixon immediately become the starter?
Yes.
I mean, I think that, yes, I think he'll be the starter. But
right.
I don't think if he does return week 7, that's our target date. Can't practice the first 4 weeks, obviously play a game. Week 6 bye. I think the target date's week 7 at Seattle. Look, they're not gonna give him 20 touches in the first game back.
I was gonna
say, will he start? Yes, I do.
As a technicality, Joe Mixon will start the first play of the game and be ruled the starter, but it will be a running back by committee as well. It should be.
Yeah, agreed there. Ocho, will the Texans have a dominant defense or an opportunistic defense?
I think they might have both, but I think that if you want me to pick one or the other, they're going to be dominant. I just believe that they are as loaded from top to bottom as this maybe ever in the history of this franchise. And the fact that you've got two really, really dominant outside rushers, and then you've got inside guys, the linebacking core is extremely deep and more talented than even they were a year ago. And the secondary is better than advertised. I think they're dominant and they're going to be opportunistic.
Yeah, I would agree. Define dominant is what I asked him. He said consistently get stops. I think they're going to be a top five defense.
I do too. I think top three.
Okay. Name that tune to me. Top three. I hope so. That'd be awesome. Yep. I mean, I think the defense can be very good. What are the biggest roster questions ahead of tomorrow that you got?
I think there's a lot. I think more so than, and not because of the fact that it's a shaky situation. It's an interesting situation. The wide receiver room is extremely interesting. How many are they going to keep? Running backs as well. I think we just talked about it now because of the fact that Mixon gives us a little bit of a more clarity with that clears itself out pretty easily. The wide receiver room is interesting to me because you brought in two veterans in Berrios and Watson, and you traded away Mechie, which we had thought might happen. But now, how many receivers are they going to keep? And is Berrios' ability to run back punts and kicks part of the decision that makes him a guy that makes it? Or do they feel like they can get by without him and they use Noel more in the return game to where they don't need him?
I think Berrios is a lock.
I kind of feel that way, too. I think Watson's really on the bubble.
Agreed. Like, I went through the 53 and, like, did what I, like, I went with what would I do, all that stuff. I kept six receivers. I kept six. Like, obviously, they're going to keep at least six. So, Berrios, to me, is a lock. I think the bubble guy is Watson. Will they keep seven or not? Mm-hmm. Last year, they kept seven-ish, but one was Steven Sims. But then you could say, well, Berrios is your Sims.
Right.
That can also receive. So, they could keep seven. I think if they keep six, Watson's gone. It was also kind of strange that he was returning punts in that preseason game.
I think they were trying to see if he could do it
to
kind of give him like an extra lifeline to make this team.
But that's it. It's like, is that a lifeline for Watson? Which is like, it's kind of weird that.
Feels like a bad sign.
Yeah, it feels like a bad sign.
Yeah.
Like third string punt returner Justin Watson didn't feel like a great sign that Justin Watson is making this team. I think Justin Watson is this year's Ben Skoranek. You bring him in, if you have injuries, you're comfortable with him being one of your six or seven guys. If you get out of it healthy, and the Texans have, and traded Mechie, that Watson is the odd guy out. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow at 3. But that is the one question I have on the offensive side of the ball. That one in tight end. Like, I wonder how many tight ends they keep.
See, I had three.
I have three as well.
Because I also think that it's not just tight end. I think that it's wide receiver, it's tight end, and then it's what are you going to do with Cam Robinson? Like we talked about, you asked if Cam Robinson could be moved inside.
No, but, I didn't ask that.
Or to a different
right
position.
Right tackle,
to a different position. I think unless Cam Robinson is willing to do something like that, I think Cam Robinson is someone that they could either move. They can move on from one way or the other because of Ursary's development so quickly and because of how impressive they have been with him. But I think that with tight end too, it's an interesting situation because from a tight end perspective, you went out and you traded for Bryant. But have you seen enough of him in a short sample size to say he's going to make this team? If he is Irv Smith a guy that you're willing to cut? Because Irv Smith has proven to know the system. When you need him, he seems, and in the games even, he's been able to run his routes and get some balls, and he's capable of blocking. So it's between those two guys, along with the two guys that you assume are going to make this team. But tight end's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, three or four there. Lamont's asking us, will Tank Dell play this year? What are the biggest roster questions you have for the Texans? Tomorrow deadline, 3:00. So we're right when we're on the air. They're going to have their trim down. They'll probably be announcing practice squad dudes, too. Tomorrow's going to be hot and heavy early on. I'm dabbling with the idea. Actually, I'm not going to say it because somebody might steal my idea. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.